Good morning. This morning we are interviewing Dr. Geraldine Miller, who is the Chief of the Division of Elementary Education for the Pennsylvania Department of Education. Hi, Jerry. How are you?
Good morning, Alan.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, and would like to ask you a few questions. I know that you are very invested in collecting data and have done lots of studies for it and have done presentations about data. So I'd like to ask you some questions about the data. First thing I'd like to know is if you could share with us, talk to me about data. What do we mean when we say collect the data that's important to us? What does that mean?
Well, I'm going to focus what I say around coaching, because I'm sure that's what you wanted to pertain to. And coaching overall with data is a rather unique animal. With coaching, what we're doing is doing something, the treatment, so to speak, in research terms, with teachers. And if we're going to measure the impact of that, we would be measuring the impact on the teaching practice. And that would be considered qualitative data. And we are, in all of our initiatives, collecting a lot of qualitative data. What is it? It's changing. How is coaching impacting those practices at classroom level? And that's really important. It's really powerful information. We do have to go the next step, however. We have to go from how has the teacher changed, the qualitative level, to a quantitative level of how has the change in teacher practice affected student achievement. And this is the focus that the state of Pennsylvania is really taking when we're looking at impact of initiatives. It's one thing to change teacher practice, but if that teacher practice doesn't change student achievement, what have we accomplished? We really still haven't gotten where we need to go. So we always need to find ways to take the next step to how has student achievement changed. And with that, it's very difficult. First of all, it takes a long time to demonstrate change, not only in teacher practice, but to demonstrate change in student achievement. It takes a long time for an initiative to make a difference. But we're trying to measure that quickly. So it becomes very difficult. Another thing that I would say is that teachers that are doing, are working with coaching should be thinking along the same lines. So as an initiative is measuring the change of teacher, the teacher should be trying really hard to take the next step themselves and measure how is what I'm doing changing student achievement at the classroom level. And they need to look for all of the criteria that they can measure that would demonstrate that. A lot of times we always think of tests, we think of the assessment, we think of PSSA, but there's so many other factors that can be taken into account in measuring that change. So if a teacher is being coached, and let's make an assumption that they're becoming a better teacher, their practices have improved, that teacher needs to be finding ways to measure what's different now in my classroom, not only in student behavior, but in student, those quantitative things that they can measure. So they might be looking at things like, are the kids coming to class more often? They're not always out sick when there's things they don't want to be doing, because now they're doing things they want to do. My teaching practice has changed. I should be impacting the student's reaction to my instructional practice. So we may see better attendance. At the teacher level, we may see better engagement. And with Charlotte Danielson materials, that is the number one thing that they want to look at. How engaged is the student? And the teacher should be looking at those kinds of things, finding ways to measure those kinds of things. Are they more engaged? Not just sitting there looking at you, but actually participating with interacting with the teacher or interacting with each other in different, more engaged ways. Taking it a little bit above the instructional level, going to maybe the school level with some data that the teacher may not have a hand at collecting, but can tell some of the differences, is attendance. We did talk about attendance. Graduation rate. Now, that's not something the teacher might be correct collecting at the classroom level to impact their instructional practice. But when you move to the building level, then we may be able to look at graduation rates. Are more kids attending more, so they're graduating more. They're more engaged, so they're staying in school. They are graduating more. Dropout rates. I would hope that if we get a lot of good coaching going on, a lot of more effective teachers in practice, our dropout rate should show a decline. Kids want to come when they're engaged. Again, that's a building level collection of data. Another interesting one is teacher retention. There's a very high rate of teachers leaving the profession. And if we can impact through coaching the number of teachers that we retain, they've been trained, they have to get through those first couple difficult years, and instead of dropping out and going to, not dropping out, leaving the profession, going elsewhere, we're going to keep them in the profession. That's a wonderful thing if we retain the teachers. That's information that is, again, building level. Those three things are collected by the state. So then we can go the next step to state level collection of data. Things like attendance, graduation, teacher retention, dropout rates, and collect that data and start looking at what is happening in buildings, in classrooms that are involved with coaching.
So I'm a classroom teacher. I have decided that at the beginning of the school year, I'm going to focus on some data set. And I do whatever pre-testing I want to do, not necessarily a standardized test format, but something that will give me a pre-score, let's say. And then I'm going to do it again at the end, and I'm going to measure to see where my students have grown, or whatever that unit of measure is trying to assess, I'm going to set that up before my school year. So I'll begin with the end in mind. How can we help teachers go that next step? If teachers need it to inform their decisions, how do we help them do that?
I think our practice of looking right away to the summative assessment is what makes this difficult. When we think pre-test, post-test, that's almost summative. It's talking about summative. Here's where they were. The next measure is where they are when I'm done. And we're missing all of the formative things. We jump to the summative right away. PSSA, SATs. I think if we can make them aware of all of the formative assessments that they can use, and everything can be formative assessment. Just the kids looking at you during your, at sometimes you might be lecturing, very appropriate type of instructional practice, but just having their attention. Not having to deal with discipline because they're attending, because they're engaged, being able to put them into small group work, and as you walk around, you know they're doing what you've asked them to do because they're engaged. And I keep going back to the word engagement. I think that if the more we can measure student engagement, that's really measuring what's going to happen in that classroom, because until they engage, they can't achieve. They won't learn what you're trying to give them until they engage. So that would be my first probably thought, two thoughts I think I've said here. Think formative and look at engagement. Don't jump to summative. Always be thinking, what are those middle steps? And at the instructional level, if what you're measuring can't impact the outcome, it's not formative. If what you're measuring is the outcome that's already happened, this is what they learned, and that's what you find out, that's summative. It's too late to impact instruction. So formative instruction must be done at a time that can impact what you're doing later today or tomorrow.
Good point. Now, you mentioned that there are several ways to do those interim outcomes leading up to the summative assessment. So that would mean that the teacher or the school would be able to develop the school's own rubric, let's say, some kind of index of how to measure and what to measure. And maybe the school itself can come up with its own, so to speak, enabling conditions in order to determine some of these interim apps. And actually, you chair the Collaborative Coaching Board.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about the Collaborative Coaching Board and how it was conceived, why it's important, what are some of the things that the board does, and is this something that board could explore?
The Collaborative Coaching Board was formulated about 4 months ago by Dr. Zahorchak, the Secretary of Education, because we have five major initiatives in the state of Pennsylvania that have major coaching components: the Accountability Block Grant, the initiative toward technology and the integration into curriculum called Getting to One. The new initiative, Classrooms for the Future, has a major coaching component. The Pennsylvania High School Coaching Initiative, which I'm so glad I said correctly for this setting. And the Accountability Block Grant has $250 million annually going to it, and districts have a choice of 11 options, one of which is a coaching component. So we have the five initiatives out there. There's been, to date, nothing that connected the five initiatives that said that a coach in this initiative is the same, doing the same kinds of things as a coach in any other initiative. And Dr. Zahorchak would like a coach in Pennsylvania to be a coach doing the same kinds of things with good practices, good training behind it, regardless of where they are in Pennsylvania and regardless of they're even one of these initiatives, because there's a lot of coaches out there that aren't even in any of the initiatives. Districts are putting coaching in place. So the goal was to come up with some consistency of coaching across Pennsylvania. Toward that goal, we've done a couple things. We produced a white paper, or a position paper, came out from the Department of Ed several months ago about coaching, based on research, a lot of collaboration with the University of Kansas, which has a major coaching research component, collaboration with the University of Pittsburgh with Rita Bean, who has a major coaching focus. And we have released the paper, which I think has a lot of good directives of what is it that coaching should be, what should it look like, what should it not be. That has been posted on the website at PDE under pre-K-12. It's right on the front page once you hit pre-K-12 tab. So that's available. Some of the other things that we've been looking at as a collaborative board is finding ways to, again, continue the consistency. We're looking very specifically at the evaluation that each of the initiatives are doing. And one of the common issues across initiatives has been it's been very qualitative focused. It's looking at what is changing about teachers. And that's needed. That's important information. We need to look at that intermediate step. But the problem we're finding is a very difficult step to go to what's changing about student achievement. And because the initiatives are only a couple years old at the oldest, and many are only in their first year, it's very difficult to look at changes of student achievement. But we need to set the stage. We need to start collecting the data in a consistent way across initiatives. And my goal is to actually have it collected in a consistent enough way that we then can say, this is what coaching in Pennsylvania is doing. Rather than each of the initiatives are doing, this is what's happening in this initiative. I'd like to collect data consistent enough across initiatives that we eventually, in a couple years, will be able to say, look what's happened in Pennsylvania because of coaching. And to do that, we have to be collecting information in a consistent way. The hardest part is collecting the information the right way, because if you don't get it collected the same, you don't have anything. So we're trying to set the stage for that. We're trying to set the stage for a very quantitative evaluation, not only at the initiative level, but at the state level as well. And we're using the data that we've been talking about: attendance, graduation, teacher retention, dropout, along with the qualitative data. When we put it all together, what we will have, it will have the quantitative data. This is the student achievement. And then we'll have the qualitative data that will explain why we got what we did. And we look at the differences between the implementation sites. If we have a really good result in one building, we can say, well, look what they're doing, looking at the qualitative end, to explain the good results. if that all makes sense.
Yes. Okay, so it sounds like you're saying we want to tell the story, but which would be qualitative, but along with telling the story, we have to have something to back up what our findings are, and that would be the quantitative data that we are collecting. And I can appreciate the fact that you're saying it does take time. Obviously, we are in an era that says we don't have that kind of time. In order to prove the efficacy of coaching models, as well as proving the efficacy of coaching, that's a tough thing to do, because we have to try to prove that coaching is a practice that helps improve student achievement. And so when you have so many other initiatives that are not just coaching in a school, sometimes it's difficult to draw that correlation.
Right. And in trying to address that issue, we're actually trying to set up control schools so that we can look at what the coaching schools have done and what the non-coaching schools have done. And looking at the data, do we see a difference? Probably the biggest goal of the Coaching Collaborative Board, however, is to serve as the leadership for the state, so that we bring together all of the initiatives and the relevant specialists. We have specialists about assessment. We have specialists about coaching itself, and bringing together the various specialists to sit at the table with the initiatives, and each initiative is represented at every meeting that we have, so that we as a state can provide the leadership and to have the consistency across coaching, and then hopefully have that outcome that we can proudly display of what coaching has done.
So that's certainly a novel idea, and so I know that you're proud to chair this committee, and certainly as the person who's involved in coaching, that I can see all good things, all positive things, and that we can all learn from each other, take those new learnings and apply it so that each year we get better and better, understanding and recognizing that coaching is a viable practice that will help change teacher practice, which will then yield results in student achievement.
Right. I'll say one other thing about
okay.
the Coaching Collaborative.
Okay.
Each initiative that I've been involved in, and I've been involved with almost all of them, have had the same problems, the same issues to deal with. As Classrooms for the Future came on board this year for the first time, we were able to say, because we were sitting at the table, don't do this, or do this. So we've gotten to the point that this Coaching Collaborative Board can avoid the issues in the upcoming initiatives. And I think that we have accomplished some of that, at least with Classrooms of the Future. And as I hope to see more new coaching initiatives, we'll be able to do better work yet to avoid problems.
That is a great goal. And I know that for the Pennsylvania High School Coaching Initiative, there have been several times where, because we've been in the initiative for 18 months now, so much of what we've learned, we have been able to pass along. And so it was great for us, because we can see just where another initiative is heading and be able to just tap into what we've learned to help them, but then that also helps us, because there are other things that other initiatives are experiencing that we may not have. So it's really truly a collaboration. Well, Dr. Miller, I want to thank you very much for your time, and anything else that we have to ask you, we know exactly where to come at PDE to get some more information about data. We'd like to continue this discussion, and I know that there are probably teachers on all different levels that would like to tap into your knowledge base, so be prepared.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, and I would invite everybody that watches this to go online to the PDE website. Hit the tab Pre-K-12, and you'll find actually several documents there that are related to coaching.
Great, great. And they can contact you through PDE?
Am I supposed to give my phone number?
Yes, you are. This is where you get, give your number.
Email address is jerrymiller, G-E-R-I-M-I-L-L-E-R, at state.pa.us, and my phone number is 717 978-763-6746. And I will talk with anybody about coaching at any time, gladly.
Great. Thank you very much. And also, you are in the contact information in the brochure for the Pennsylvania High School Coaching Initiative.
Yes.
So you should be ready for an onslaught of phone calls.
Overwhelmed.
Thank you very much, and we will talk with you soon.
Thank you.